This is the only chapter in the Bible that deals with the operation of three of the manifestations of the Spirit. There are nine manifestations of the Spirit: speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. Of those nine manifestations, basically, this is the only chapter in the Bible that deals with three of them, namely speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The reason this chapter is in the Bible is to teach people how to accurately operate these manifestations, how to utilize them, not only in our daily life, but in the life of the church, the body of believers. Now, in this 14th chapter, we will take it easy tonight and discuss this thing and take it along very carefully. And for our people listening by radio, you just follow along line by line and word by word. And I believe there are some tremendous truths in here that'll bless your heart, especially if you're spiritually hungry, because you will recognize in the last few verses of this 14th chapter, in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or what? Spiritual. If a man thinks himself to be spiritual, and when you're born again of God's Spirit, you're a Christian, you're supposed to be what? Spiritual. And you are, according to God's Word. Therefore, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of V.P. Weirwill. The way ministry. Nope. My denomination. Nope. Your denomination. Nope. Sorry. These are the commandments of what? Then what are we going to read tonight? The commandments of what? And if we're spiritual, then we ought to adhere and be obedient to the commandments of what? How in the world people can say they're Christian and bypass all this wonderful greatness of God's Word is a tremendous something or other that I can't quite figure out. But here in the 14th chapter now, in the first verse, having talked in the 13th verse of the 13th chapter about now abideth faith, hope, love, charity. Charity, every usage of this word in all these chapters always means the love of God, agapeo, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. So every time you read the word charity in the Bible, its usage is always the same all the way through. It's the love of God, which is in the inner man by birth. But it becomes my possession in manifestation when I put on in the mind up here, when I renew my mind according to what he put in here, I renew it up here and live it. And when I live it, it comes into manifestation and into evidence. So every time you read this word charity here in King James, it's always agapeo, meaning the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. Now abideth faith, hope, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. These three. But the greatest of these is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation in the church. In the church. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you ought to look at it, because here is something you ought to drive into your mind. You ought to renew your mind on as to whom is this book of Corinthians addressed. Whose name is on this letter, this epistle? If you get a letter with your name on it, you open the letter, you take your pictures out and look at them. If you get a letter with your name on it, even if it's a bill, you usually get around to opening it. You'd like to take it to the neighbors and let them have it, but it just doesn't quite work that way, does it? So, verse 2 says, unto the church of what? Then to whom is it written? The church of God at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And this, to all who in every place, would this be this place here tonight? Would it be the city, the community you come from? Would it be our people listening to the broadcast tonight? That's right. Therefore, to whom is it written? To the believers. to those who say they are spiritual, to those who say they are born again of God's Spirit, to those who are Christians. Now, chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation in the church. And desire spiritual. Now the word gifts is in italics. See it? The italics are added in the King James to tell you that the translators added the word, that it was not in the Stephen's critical Greek text from which they translated. This is one of the reasons so many of you people know that I use the King James, because it's the only translation in extent that tells you whether the translators added, subtracted, multiplied, or divided. All the rest of them did as they fool please. When they added, they never tell you. When they left out a word, you never know. And so people today are reading translation upon translation, and they think that they're reading the Word of God, and they're not reading the Word of God. They're reading what the translator wants them to read. This is why we're very particular in this, because translators may add error. And if they add the error, you can't blame God for the error. God, if the Bible is God's Word, there can be no error in it when it's rightly divided. Because God would then have to contradict himself, and that's an impossibility. The word gifts is in italics. You'll never understand this chapter if you leave the word gifts in it. Scratch it out. Had no business there in the first place. The Greek word is pneumatikos, the same word that's used in chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual what? Gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts. In 12:1, it's the word pneumatikos, which is the same word as verse 1 of chapter 14. The word gifts does not appear in any text. The word pneumatikos means things of the Spirit. Things of the Spirit, or spiritual matters, spiritual things. Now, class, are gifts spiritual things? Definitely. But is every spiritual thing a gift? That's the thing. The manifestations of the Spirit, like you heard here tonight when she spoke in tongues and interpreted, was that a spiritual matter, a spiritual thing? Yes, but was it a gift? No. 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 It was a manifestation. It was a manifestation of a gift. The gift is always spiritual. The manifestation is always the evidence of that gift in the sensus or natural realm. Now, here in chapter 14, verse 1, it's going to be talking about and to desire spiritual things, spiritual matters, but rather that ye may what? Prophesy in the church. You'll always have to remember this is addressed to whom? The church. And what happens in the church is different many times than what you do in your own house, in your own place where you live. Certain things you can do at home that you dare never do in a believer's meeting. For instance, you can speak in tongues all day at home out loud. But when you get into a believer's meeting, you better never speak in tongues all day. When you get into a believer's meeting, you may speak in tongues, but you must interpret it. In your house where you speak in tongues by yourself, you never interpret. But in a believer's meeting, it must be interpreted. We're going to see that in a little while. Now, people, but rather that you may prophesy. To prophesy is to bring a message from God or for God to the people in the language of the body of the people present. In this particular fellowship, that message would have to be in English. If this was a congregation in France, then the message would be in French. If it were in Germany or some other country like that would be speaking the language, the German language, then the prophecy would be in the language of the body of the people present. Now, people, inside of the church where there are all believers, and boy, when I say all believers, I do not mean a building. I do not mean just the congregation. I mean a place where there are all believers. And you find this few and far between today, because there are very few places that people meet where they are ever all really believers. But if they're all believers at that place, he would rather have them to what? That's what he says. That's what he means. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. When you speak in tongues, you're not talking to man, because if I was talking to man, I would have to speak in a language that that man understood, right? And when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not speaking unto man. I am speaking unto whom? That's what it says. For no man understandeth. Then is that comes that word him. Scratch it out. It's in italics again. But you see, these people that translated this, at least they told us, when they added a word, they told us by putting it into italics. And they thought they were right, but they're not right, because in Acts chapter 2, don't look it up, but you'll remember it, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter spoke in tongues, for instance, was there anybody out there that understood what he spoke? That's the miracle of Pentecost. I explained that last Sunday night. The miracle of Pentecost is not that they spoke, but what they spoke. And what you speak is God's business, and God is still a miracle God. He wants to be. And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke. It was tongues to Peter. He didn't understand it, but out there was somebody that did. John spoke in tongues. John didn't understand it with his senses knowledge, for had he understood it with his senses mind, it would not have been tongues to him. It would have been a known what? Language, sure. So he spoke in tongues. Somebody else out there understood it. That's why that word him has to be scratched out. For when you speak in tongues, what you speak is God's business, and there may be a time that you'll be speaking in tongues, and somebody out there will do what? Understand what you're speaking. You won't, but that party out there will. This has happened in places where I've ministered, where I've taught classes on power for abundant living. Well, happens. Why not? God's business. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. When you are just speaking in the Spirit, to speak in the Spirit is to speak in what? Tongues. And when you just speak in tongues, you don't understand it here, for you're not speaking to men. We're speaking to whom? God. And when you're speaking in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries, divine secrets. It's between you and your Father. This way, in a vertical, perpendicular relationship, you speaking to Father, and Father building his greatness within your spiritual life. Tremendous thing. But, verse 3, he that prophesieth, prophecy in the language of the body of the people, speaketh unto what? Men. Why? Because they understand it. And prophecy, which is a message from God or for God to the people, unto edification, exhortation, and comfort, will edify. Edify. To edify means to build up. We talk about a big edifice, big house, big edifice. Exhortation. Exhortation, in plain common vernacular, just tells people, get on the ball for God. And to exhort us, technically it means to encourage toward a more worthy endeavor. And the word comfort, the word of verse 3, comfort is to give quiet serenity, quiet acquiescence, quiet peace. People, if that word means what it says and says what it means, which it does, look at the tremendousness of this in a believer's fellowship, where everybody really knows the score, and you're believing God, that when a person prophesies, he'll speak to everybody there, and it will edify you. Edify means it'll build you up. It will exhort you, which means it will encourage you. And in the third place, it will give God's people what? Comfort, quiet acquiescence. My goodness, if you read how many people are taking sedatives and all the rest of them, all these Christian people, they need the power of the Holy Spirit to get the comfort. The church needs comfort today. They don't need hell. They're in it 6 days a week. What they need is the presence of the power of God when they come to a believer's meeting. Something that will give them a serenity, a quietness, a peace, a comfort. Like you men in here tonight, and you women who work in shops and factories and so forth. Tomorrow when you go back into that work, you'll be rubbing shoulders with other men and women who don't give a hoot and a hailstorm about anything. Well, how are you going to walk this week unless God gives you that comfort? When God gives you that quiet serenity, that inner comfort, that inner peace, why, you can live almost in the midst of hell and live abundantly because God is in you. That's the purpose of these manifestations. This is why the church so-called is lame, because it doesn't operate the greatness of the power of God, and so they're really not equipped. But prophecy edifies people. It exhorts them. It encourages them, gives them a quiet, restful serenity. And I often marvel at these things at the way Biblical Research Center here. Our people come, and when they've never been here before. And when they even get on the place, they sit out there under the trees, or they come around, they visit, they say, why is this place so peaceful? Well, it isn't because I'm peaceful all the time or something else, maybe. But I believe it's because our people who live here and the people who work here are men and women filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they are speaking in tongues. They are living this kind of a life. And this manifestation makes for a serenity of the whole place. Why not? Well, verse 4, he that speaketh in a tongue, the word unknown is again italicized. Well, people, if you're speaking in tongues, then to the speaker it will be what? Unknown, else it wouldn't be tongues, it'd be a known language. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth what? Himself. Edifieth himself. That's what it says, that's what it means. Now, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Could you edify your mind? No, because you can only edify your mind if you do one thing. What? Understand it. And we just got through saying that when you speak in tongues, you do not what? Understand it. But he turns right around and he says that when a man speaks in tongues, he is what? Edified. He is built up. Well, where are you built up? In that of which you are born. The first time I was born, of my daddy, earthly daddy's seed, I am Victor Paul Werwill. And when you people speak to me intelligently and you inspire me, you edify VP Werwill. Because I hear you, we communicate with each other, so I hear this in my mind, I believe it, so I am built up, I am edified. Right? But when a person speaks in tongues, he doesn't speak unto men, he speaks unto God. And when we speak in tongues, we are edified. Edified in that of which we are born. Second birth, we're born of whose seed? God's seed. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. And when you speak in tongues, you feed this which is spirit in you. Understand? And people, that's the only thing that feeds the spirit. When I read the Word of God, or when I teach the Word of God, I do not feed your spirits. I am feeding the Word to your mind. The word is in the census realm. This Bible is in the census realm. When I speak, you can read it. You can see it for yourself. You can smell it, taste it, touch it. It's in the census realm. But when we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves. Where? In the Spirit. If you want to really get walking with the greatness of the power of God, if you will speak in tongues much in your private life, you will nourish this Spirit and it will get big and fat within you. Like sometimes the physical body gets big and fat by mashed potatoes and gravy or something. So, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, not in his mind, but in his what? Spirit. But he that prophesieth in the language of the body of the people would do what? Edify, build up the what? Church. The church, the body of believers. Verse 5. I would that ye all, what? Spake with what? Verse 37, this is a commandment then of what? Verse 5, but rather that ye what? Prophesied. Prophesied. Where? Why? Because it's in the language of the body of the people present. And inside of the church, the believers, we must always do that which will bless everybody. When I'm at home in my office, I can do that which blesses VP Wirwell and VP Wirwell alone. But when I stand up here to teach the Word of God or to present this ministry to God's people and to our radio audience, I have to do that one thing which will bless everybody. It'll help everybody. That's why inside of the church, he would rather have us to give prophecy in the language of the body of the people present than just to do what? Speak in tongues. For if I stood here tonight speaking in tongues for 1 hour, would I get blessed? Sure, my spirit would be what? Edified, but what about yours? You wouldn't get any blessing whatsoever. Then you'd be shortchanged or something, and that's not right in the body of believers. Look how tremendous he set this verse here. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye what? For greater is he that prophesieth. Greater is the fellow who gives the message to the people in the language of the body of the people than he that speaketh with tongues, except he do what? Interpret that the church may receive what? That's what it says. That's what it means. So when I speak in tongues in a body of believers, I must do one thing. What? Interpret. And the interpretation will be in the language of the body of the people. This is why tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. There's a reason for speaking in tongues and interpreting. We'll see it after a bit. But boy, you know, this is the verse of Scripture all these unbelieving believers want to get rid of. And they do. Very advantageously. There's another one in here they get rid of. We'll get to that one too. Because it says it here, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you what? Therefore, they say, tongues is out. Why don't they read the rest of the verse? Except he do what? Interpret. That's the key to it. And when he interprets, the interpretation will edify, as we heard tonight. It will do what? Exhort, and it will comfort. Verse 6. Now, brother, if I come to you speaking in tongues, or with tongues, what shall I profit you? You understand why? Because if I spoke in tongues, you couldn't understand it unless it was a miracle. And so forth. Otherwise, for the most part, you wouldn't. What should it profit you? It does. And inside of the church, everybody has to be profited. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation. In other words, what God has revealed to me. Or by knowledge. Knowledge that I'd worked out of the Word. Or by prophecy. Prophesying, giving a word. Or by teaching, doctrine is teaching, how to believe rightly. Then he uses this tremendous illustration which everybody should understand. Even things, verse 7, without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what's piped or what's harped? For if the trumpets give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what's spoken? For you shall just be speaking into the what?
Sure.
Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kind of voices in the world. And that's right. Every time a person speaks in tongues, it is a voice in the what? And none of them, not a one of those, is without signification. Therefore, the word therefore is the word but in the text. The word but is always used whenever that which is given previously is set in contrast with. The word and must always be used when it's in correspondence with. These same Greek words are frequently mistranslated, and just you have to work them very minutely and accurately or get in the soup on them. But, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a what? A barbarian or a foreigner. In other words, if I speak English to you and you understand only German, I am a what to you? Foreigner. If I would speak German to all you people tonight and you did not understand German, then I'd be a foreigner to you. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, a foreigner. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian or a foreigner unto what? Me. Verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual matters or spiritual things, same word as in verse 1 of 12 and 14, or verse 2 of 14 and verse 1 of 12, here you have it again, same word, pneumaticos. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual matters or spiritual things, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of what? Inside of the Corinthian church, they were zealous for spiritual matters. They were zealous for spiritual things. But they were out of alignment and harmony with God's will because sometimes what they did not edify the church, didn't build up the church. And so God gave Paul revelation and told him to write. And what Paul wrote is recorded here in the 14th chapter, which is God's word, to straighten out the mess, to tell people how to operate accurately these wonderful manifestations in their individual life as well as in the life of the church. Seek that you may excel to the edifying, the building up the church. Verse 13. Wherefore, since you're going to build up the church, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may do what? Interpret it. Where? In the church. Why? Because the church must be what? Edified. If he just spoke in tongues, the person speaking would be edified in his spirit. But the body of believers would not be built up. And inside of the church, the body of believers are the ones that must be built up. This verse 13 is tremendous. We better read it again. Because many people believe and teach, if they believe in the Holy Spirit field, they believe and they teach that you can have only one gift, they call it. Well, they're wrong calling a gift to begin with. It's a manifestation. But then they'd say, well, you can only have one. Well, this one tells you better have two. That's for sure. Right? If you're going to speak in tongues, you've got to do what? In a believer's meeting. Now, listen, would God ask you to do something if he didn't give you the ability to? Why, he'd be a terrible God if he asked me to do something and then made it impossible for me to do. Then he would be asking me to do something and then hadn't given me the ability. Hadn't he? I don't know what he'd be. He'd just be a fiend or something. Sure. Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray
that he may do what? And I want to handle that word prayer. Father brings this to my mind. You know what people think of praying? Some think sit in a chair, fold your hand, close your eyes, and go to work. No. Somebody else thinks, well, kneel down. No. Some people sit and fold their hands and close their eyes until you ought to have a funeral. Never get anything accomplished. Others kneel and they never get anything. The word prayer is always in the essence of believing. You know why so many people spend so much time praying, as they call it? Because they spend such little time believing.
Sure. If you get around to believing, you spend a lot less time. That one. But it looks nice, you know. It's real kosher for most people to be so angelic. Almost got a halo around the head, you know. Fold your hands, close your eyes, get in the spirit, as they say. Well, what? That's not prayer, for a man could pray that for days and not get anything. And I've been with those people. It's wonderful, but it's no good. Because let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may do what? And to pray is to believe. That's what Mark says when Jesus said, when you pray, what? Believe. Sure. It's always believing. You can always tell whether we're believing or not when we pray by the results. If we're believing, we get them. If we don't, if we're not believing, keep on praying, don't get it.
Sure.
Well, what verse is that? 14. For if I pray, now do you get that? If I pray now, he's now going to really talk about prayer. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit, what? But my understanding is what? I'm not one whit smarter in my mind after I've prayed in the spirit than I was before I prayed, because when I speak in tongues and pray in the spirit, my spirit is what? Edified, but my mind is unfruitful, doesn't understand. Because if I understood it, it would not be praying in what? The spirit. There are tremendous things involved here. I think I'll write some things on the board here to keep this clarified, especially for some of you younger people in this ministry. It should be a real blessing to you. This matter of speaking in tongues has two avenues or two facets of truth. One is speaking of in tongues in a believer's meeting. And when I speak in tongues in a believer's meeting, I must do what? Interpret. For then it's a message from God or for God to the people. But when I speak in tongues in my private life, it is always a prayer. And when I pray, I'm speaking in tongues, but I'm praying in the what? I'm praying in the spirit. And when I pray in the spirit, my spirit is being what? Edified. Therefore, I never do what? Never interpret. For when you speak in tongues and you interpret, you must be in a body of what? That's what it says. That's what it means. Verse 50. What is it then? Well, what about it then? I will pray with the what? And when you pray with the Spirit, you'll be praying in tongues. And I will pray with my what? Two kinds of prayer, right? All right, we had one of them here tonight. We had the other one too, but it was silent, praying in the Spirit. But we prayed with our understanding tonight. Sure. Don and Catherine, who else prayed? Bob. They prayed with their what? Understanding. So you can pray with your understanding. But you can also pray with what? In the Spirit. Likewise, it says, I will sing with what? So you can sing in tongues, and you can also sing with your what? Understanding. Else, Verse 16, else. What's that first word should be translated what, Eddie? Else. Did I lose you? I forget. It's in the text here, and I just haven't flipped along far enough in my book here. I should have gone there perhaps, but I didn't see it. Otherwise, when thou shalt bless with a spirit. Otherwise, if. Okay. Otherwise, if you bless with a spirit. Well, what is it, otherwise, if you bless with the spirit? What's it mean, Eddie?
Well, in context here, it says, the way it's written, it says, when you speak in, when you bless with the Spirit, which means you will do it.
That's impossible, isn't it?
No.
Because you can't bless with the Spirit like you do what? Interpret?
Right. But you can't do it that way.
That's right. If you bless with the Spirit. To bless with the Spirit is to pray in tongues in this particular verse, right? How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? See, he understandeth not what you're saying. You see, if I spoke in tongues all night, let me give you an illustration. I'll speak in tongues and not interpret, then you'll understand. Lo santa malaka shanta, u santa malaka sino kashanta. If I did this speaking in tongues all night, would I be blessing with the Spirit? Yes, but I'd only be blessing what? Myself. My spirit would be what? But what about yours? You wouldn't get blessed at all. And inside of the body of believers, this is not permissible. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 17 says, thou verily givest thanks well, see it? But the other is not what? Edified. And inside of the church, everybody has to be what? Edified. Verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all in the church. No. Oh, no. For he just got through saying, this is not what you're supposed to do. Because you're not supposed to speak in tongues in the church. You're supposed to interpret what you speak in tongues. And here in the body of this thing, we're talking about praying in the Spirit. And almost everybody's missed this thing. You know, people, I've taught this across the country and other foreign countries. And it's just hard for people to renew their minds, believe what the Word says. I don't know why it's so hard, so difficult. You know why it's difficult? Because we've all been taught the things of God are difficult. When this should be simpler than to believe the banker that you got $5 left in the checkbook at the end of the month. But they send you a report, you believe him, right? It's written out. Sure, you may take your book and balance it. Takes sometimes Mrs. Werwill longer to balance her little account than it does the whole month or something writing them, I guess. People, when you sit down and really logically think it through, for men and women who say they're Christian, and then to doubt the integrity of God's Word and to believe the banker's report on their financial statement, man, we're great spiritual people, aren't we? Something wrong someplace, right? Well, you decided. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Not in a believer's meeting, but in his private what? Prayer life, because it did what to him? And the Word of God says that of all the men that ever lived, nobody had the abundance of the revelations the Apostle Paul had. Isn't that a wonder? Yet, he says, inside of the church, verse 19, I'd rather speak five words with my what? Understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Why? Very simple. Because five words with my understanding will edify you five words worth. You're not a poet. 10,000 words in a tongue would not edify you one word.
I would be edified in the Spirit, but it's out of order inside of us. That's why five words inside of the church would build you up five words worth, while 10,000 words wouldn't build you up one word even. And inside of the church, it is God's will that the people be what? Edified, built up. That's why when the ministry of the body meets, like here at the Way Biblical Research Center, when you go out of this place on Sunday night, you ought to be on fire for the Lord, as I call it, burning with the enthusiasm of God's presence and power. You ought to be world beaters instead of wife beaters or something. We ought to. Why? Because, look, the church ought to be what? Edified. Man, if you leave the church on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon and Sunday night, and you're as negative as you came in, or as defeated and frustrated as you were when you came in, find yourself a new outfit to operate from, or do something. Because, boy, when you leave that place, you ought to be gelling. You ought to be effervescing. You ought to be glowing with the presence and the power of God and know you've been someplace and touched the hem and you've touched some resource. Sure. Well, that verse is real simple, isn't it? Here is one of the verses they really throw out, you know. They really throw out. It says, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than 10,000 words in a tongue. Therefore, they say, you see, tongues is out. It's no good. Five words is better than 10. That's not what it says. You see, it's a matter of the church being one thing, what? Edified. Sure. Verse 20. Brethren, be children all your lifetime in understanding. No. Be not children in what? Understanding. Understanding what? The things we're talking about. Things of the Spirit. Spiritual matters. Spiritual things. You know, people, in chapter 12, verse 1, concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. There are only about three things in the Bible he says he doesn't want us to be stupid about. This is one of them. And we're just about as stupid as you can get many times. This is one of the things he said he didn't want the church to be ignorant about. Well, bless God, when God says he doesn't want us ignorant, then we ought to sit back and take time to find out what he's really trying to say, right? And we ought to just gel this thing and just work it until it becomes such a part of us that we can't help but manifest what's in here. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be what? Children. And boy, that's something. Can you imagine this? Malice be children. If one child does something wrong to another child, you know something? They never take their ball, bat, and glove and play together again. And they'll never talk to each other again. Golly, 60. You know better than that. They can have a big fight, and 5 minutes later, they're hugging each other and playing ball again. But sometimes when you got to be Christians, and you grew up, somehow or other, you never were able to forgive. There's something wrong. In malice be what? Children, be like a child. But in understanding, grow up, be a man. You know, verse 21, it says, in the law it's written, with other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they'll not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that what, but to them that what? That's right. This is why it's used in the church. That's why it's used in the church. If I got up here and I prophesied, or you prophesied, and there's an unbeliever back here, he's perhaps converted, but he still hasn't been taught enough of the Word of God to really walk in it. And so you prophesy. Prophesy would be in the language of the body of the people present, which would be in English, right? That unbeliever sitting back there, he'd say, huh, they're just putting that on. I can do that. But if you stand up and you speak in tongues, he's sitting back there and, oh, how do we do it? How does he do it? How does he do it? How does he do it? Huh. It's a sign to what? To the unbeliever. And people, many times inside of the church, you've got what? Unbelievers. If we're all believers inside of the church, we would do nothing but give a word of what? Well, by the way, what makes up the church? How many do you have to have a church? Two. You and I make a church. If you're born again and I'm born again, the two believers, that makes a church. Two or more gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ who are born again, there you have the church. Now let's say three of us met, the body of believers. There, if we were manifesting the evidences of the Spirit, we would do one thing, what? Prophesy. But in a group this size, many times much smaller than this, you would bring a message in tongues with interpretation for the benefit of what? The unbeliever. And I like to tell you here, this will shock some of you people who haven't sat under my ministry and worked the accuracy of the word here with me, but this technically is not the unbelieving unbeliever. He is not the unconverted unbeliever. He is the converted unbeliever. The one who is born again of God's Spirit, but who is still ignorant in many respects of the spiritual matters or spiritual things. That's the fellow that's talking about. I refer to him as unbelieving believers. They are born again of God's Spirit, but they still are not believing to operate. And to those people, speaking in tongues is a what? Sign. While prophecy is not for them that believe not, but for them which do what? When all the believers, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody's fully instructed, you know how to speak in tongues and interpret, then in that particular group, there is one manifestation in operation, which? Prophecy only. Understand? That's why, Catherine, it's almost impossible to be out of line at any time by somebody speaking in tongues and interpreting in your meeting. Because 9 chances out of 10, I'd almost say more than that, there will always, if you have 10, 12, 15, 20 people, there'll always be someone there who is really not with the manifestations of the Spirit. And therefore, speaking in tongues will be a what to them? A sign. If therefore, verse 23, the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in the unlearned. They're born again of God's Spirit, but they're what? Unlearned. And the reason they're unlearned is because they have never been what? Taught. And boy, to those people, God's given me a ministry. I'm not an evangelist, but I've got a real message for God's people. For those who are already Christian and are miserable or something. Those who are Christian and need more of the power of God. And they know it. These are the unlearned. And the reason they're unlearned is because nobody has just yet taught them on that point. They may have other points they've been taught of, but at that point they're unlearned. Or what? Unbelievers. Those who are born again, but have never been instructed at all. And boy, you've got them. And if everybody inside of the church, all of them would speak in what? Tongues. And you have those two categories of people among the group. Will they not say you're off your rocker, that you're mad, you're out in left field, right? Why, sure. And that's exactly what many people have been saying, because in the places where they say they have believed in the Holy Spirit, everybody gets up, and now we're all going to speak in tongues, you know, and then everybody speaks in tongues that can. And when, let's say in this group tonight, we have way over 100 in here tonight, if you all spoke in tongues at the same time, but there are about 4 or 5 in here who were unlearned or what, and you all spoke in tongues at the same time, would it bless them? No, it bless us, the speaker, and the people listening to it. That's why they say you're off your rocker, you're mad. It's a bunch of noises, a bunch of baloney. What are you talking about? But, verse 24, if all prophesy in a believer's meeting, where there are all believers, and you prophesy, and there happens to come in one that believeth not, born again, but not instructed at all, or one who is what? Unlearned. And this word unlearned, here as it's used all through Corinthians, mean he's been taught a little, but he's not taught enough. Then if you prophesy in a believer's meeting, and someone later comes in, he is convinced of all, and he's weighed in the balances, or he's judged by all. Not that doesn't mean you go in and tell him where he's wrong. But you see, you're being a believer, and you're all fired up. The Word of God in your midst has given you the enthusiasm, the effervescence, and the glow. Here is someone who's unlearned, or someone who hasn't been brought up on the Word. What do you do afterwards with those people? You talk to them, you talk to them, you talk to them, because you're all aglow. That's what I'm talking about. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face is a figure of speech. He will worship God. Isn't that something? Doesn't say he's going to worship you. And that's the difference many times between the genuine and the counter. The Jeannie Dixons, they worship her. But when you're operating manifestations of the Spirit, it's like, isn't it in the Gospels or is it in the Epistles? Where he says, I thank my God that he has given such power unto men. I just didn't read it here, did I? It's in here someplace. Who said that? Jesus, or is it in the Epistles? I think it's in the Gospels. Sure. Where he said that he thanked God that they had given this power unto men. And when you see the manifestations in operation, you don't worship BP Whirlwill, but you worship the God who gave these abilities to us, right? And in the counterfeit, they'll always worship the man, or they'll worship the woman. Did you ever read Acts 8? Many of you read it many times in here. Sure. Before old Simon had bewitched them, giving out that himself was the what? Great one. Acts 8. And the whole city gave heed to what he said, and he had them in the palm of his hand, because the scripture says that he had bewitched, hoodwinked, pulled the wool over their eyes by the power of Satan for years and years and years. But into the midst of that cesspool of unbelief and iniquity came a man by the name of Philip. And it says he preached the Reader's Digest. Life, look, and time. No, it says he preached the Word. Why tell my people in the classes, if you take more time to look at the Word, you have more life. He preached the Word unto them. And the people gave heed unto Philip's preaching because of the signs and the miracles that were wrought by the hands of the man of God, Philip. And after this, it says, they gave God the glory, because God had given this power to men. People, if you'll watch that, you'll see it, all the genuine and counterfeit so sharply cut. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a sum, everyone has a doctrine, everyone wants to speak in tongues, everyone says he's got a revelation from God. Everybody's got an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? see the baloney that's involved here? How they were out of alignment and harmony? Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. Everybody said they had something to share. That's not true. If any man speak in a tongue, verse 27, let it, the speaking, be by two, or at the most, what? Three, in a believer's meeting, and that by what? Course. Course means order. One, two, three. At the most, what? Three. One, two, three, and that in course order, and let what? One. The word one is the word each. You know why it couldn't be one of the three? Because back here a little while ago we read what? Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray or believe to do what? That's what he said. That's what he meant. God can't turn around 10 verses later and contradict himself if he's God. Now, it's a remarkable thing that people have remembered the verse I've just read and they forgot the one we read a while ago. All over the country where I teach. That's the one they always bring up. They say, well, the Bible says you can have three people speaking and you have only one person interpret. And I said, yeah, that's usually the preacher. Nah. It says when a person speaks in tongues in a believer's meeting, he's to pray or believe to do what? And here we're talking about the same reality. Only inside of the church you have one may speak and he must do what? Interpret. Two may speak and he must do what? Or you can have three and they must what? In course or order, and each one must interpret what he has spoken, that the church may receive edifying. Verse 28. But if there be no what? Interpreter. If number one speaks and he does not what? Interpret, believe to interpret. Number two would speak and not believe to interpret. Or if a person, any person speaks and does not believe to interpret, let him, let that person who is speaking keep silence. Where? In the church. Why? Because when he speaks in tongues in a church, he must do what? And if he does not believe to interpret, or if he does not know how to interpret, then inside of the church, he must stay silent and speak to himself and to us. This he can do silently by speaking in tongues. Can you say to yourself in English right now, I love the Lord Jesus Christ without moving your lips? Sure. All right. Then you can speak in tongues silently. That's what he's talking about. Let the prophets, verse 29. Now here we're shifting from manifestation to gift ministries. Now we're talking about a spiritual matter, which is a gift. For in Ephesians 4, it lists the gifts of the Spirit, where it talks about prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and what? And I think that's in Ephesians 4, 8 or 11. What? 4:11. Now, here we're talking about spiritual matters. These are gifts now. Let the prophet speak to or what? And let the other, what? The other prophets that are there, if there are other prophets there, let them do the what? Judge. To judge is against to weigh, to evaluate whether what that prophet is saying is genuine or not. And the only way one prophet of God or one man of God could judge another or weigh another is by the revelation of the Word. Is he saying what the Word says or isn't he? Verse 29. Let the prophet speak. Two or three, let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another, another what? Prophet that sitteth by, let the first what? The prophet who has been speaking, let him hold his peace. For ye may all who? All the prophets that are present in a believer's meeting, all the prophets may prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be what? You see, inside of a believer's fellowship, you might not have a prophet or prophets. That's right. You might have an apostle or evangelist or pastor or teacher. Might not have a prophet at all. But inside of the believers, you being a believer, you could speak in tongues and you could what? Interpret in a believer's meeting. But if there happens to be a prophet there, and you have two or three even, every one of the prophets that would be there would always be allowed to bring a message in what? Prophecy. That's what it's talking about. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to what? Boy, I love that. Who's in control of his action? The man who does the speaking. The spirits of the prophets are controlled by the prophet. And therefore, when people get out of alignment and harmony, it isn't God, it's who? The people. If they do something that is not according to the word of God, it's people and not God. God never gets people out of alignment and harmony. People get themselves out. The spirits of the prophets are subject to whom? The prophets. For God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of peace, as in all the churches of the what? Therefore, any time you have confusion in a believer's fellowship, who's the author of it? Satan, not God. Not God. Whenever we are out, it's always Satan that does it, not God. For God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to. So if I do something that's out, it isn't God making me do this, it's who doing it? Satan, right? Satan inspiring, working through my mind, and I am the one that's responsible for it. Verse 34 for you women. Let your women keep what? Silence in the what? Boy, here's a verse they really hash to pieces. It's a nice verse to use in those denominations where we do not believe in the women standing in the pulpit and preaching or anything else. And most of you people know if it hadn't have been for the women through the years, you wouldn't even have a Sunday school left or a lot of other things. Therefore, God couldn't be that stupid. But here's your context, and they don't read it in context. We're talking about the prophets, the women, the wives of the prophets, subject matter. The wives of the prophets, you prophets, the women of the prophets, let your women of the prophets, the wives of the prophets, keep what? Silence. In the what? Churches. For it's not permitted unto them to what? That's right. That's all it says. That's all it means. And that's just what it means. But they are commanded to be under obedience to their husband, who is the prophet, as saith the law even of the Old Testament. Verse 35. But if they'll learn anything, the wives of the prophets, let them ask their husbands at what? Home. Sure, they live with them. They can ask them. Sure, when they go to bed, they can talk about it. But for the rest of the women, they can't talk about it to the prophet. So the prophet has to tell them while they're there. But if the wife of the prophet wants to know anything, let them ask at home. For it's a shame for women. What women? The wives of the prophets to speak in the what? Right. And the word speak here is the word laleo, meaning with the running off of the mouth. That's right. The running off of the mouth. And that's what was happening in Corinth. The women, the wives of the prophets were having the running off of the mouth. And it's a shame for the women of the prophets to do this. Verse 36. What? Came the word of God out from you, the wives of the prophets? This is what he's saying to them in the Corinthian church. Or did it only come to you, the wives of the prophets, like it did to the rest of the women of the church and the rest of the men? Nothing wrong with women speaking in the church. Nothing wrong with women teaching the word or anything else. But inside of the church, the wife of the prophet has to be in order, in alignment and harmony with her husband, who is the man of God. God doesn't have that picture spoiled. If he does, he'll say to them what he said in her. The women were not to have the running off of the mouth. Well, what was happening in the church in Corinth? I can see the picture. It's real wonderful. The prophet of God was speaking a word, and back there, little old Honey Bunch stood up, and she says, now, honey, just wait a minute up there. Remember the other night we were talking about so-and-so, and you know, honey, I know a little bit about this revelation business, too. God says, shut up. No running off of the mouth. He said, did the word of God come to you? No, it came to the man of God, for the prophet is the man of God. God's revelation was given to the prophet spoke it for, and the woman was just lucky to be married to that prophet. Well, anyways, she was in a real big sense, too, because these men come few and far between. And for a woman, or a man even, to have this ministry is a tremendous thing. That when we can speak that great, wonderful word of God to God's people, and the prophet always speaks to God's people. The evangelist speaks to the ungodly, you know, he gets them saved. But the prophet, like Isaiah, he spoke to Israel, God's people. Jeremiah spoke to God's people. All the prophets always speak to God's people, and they speak the word of God to them and say, come on back, let's get on the ball. Let's really move with the power of God. They were always God's spokesmen to God's people. And he said to them, let the wise of the prophets stay in alignment and harmony. No running off of the mouth. No yakking like that. If you want to ask anything, ask your husband at home. Golly, 60 couldn't apply to all the women because many wonderful women don't even have a husband. How could you ask your husband at home if you're not even married? Huh? Can only apply in context to what? The church in which there are what? Prophets, men of God, and their wives. That's why it's a wonderful verse. That's why I put it here to make it plain and simple. Verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord. But if any man be what? Ignorant. If any man be stupid after all of this of the word of God, let that man be what? Ignorant. Let him stay stupid. Quit worrying about it. Because he's had the greatest teaching of God's wonderful, matchless word. If he doesn't want to believe it, find yourself somebody that does. Wherefore, brethren, covet to do what? Prophesy, and forbid not to speak with what? But let all things be done decently and what? In order.